The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. You know, for a long time, I've been talking about the need for, you know, when you have such a censorship industrial complex that has grown up in the land of the free, United States of America, actually practically the whole Western world when it comes right down to it, that that maybe it's going to be coming down to the high-tech people that are saying, hey, listen, we actually want to fight for some freedom, actual freedom of speech, which means you have to have the equipment, too. And joining me right now is Andrew M. Riddow. He is the CEO of Liberation Technology Services. It's a company really at the forefront of the private cloud hosting industry, groundbreaking cybersecurity, and also pioneer of liquid-cooled edge data centers. Boy, that's a mouthful here, Andrew. Welcome to the show. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Thanks, Bill, for having me. Yeah, there's a lot to be done, so we're hard at work for the American people and, you know, those that are international as well.
Okay. In other words, you are building your own network of sorts, or at least your own hosting network here. Explain a little bit, and maybe put it in as low tech conversational talking points as possible. You know, that kind of thing. You know, someone hears liquid cooled edge data center, and they're kind of like going, "Huh, all right." But what does it mean?
Yeah. So basically, I guess winding back a little bit, I was in the Trump White House for 4 years. Just like everyone else in this nation, we saw exactly what was happening in 2020 and 2021. How technology companies were picking sides, essentially. And, you know, myself and my co-founder and the rest of the team, we just said, that's not right. Technology is meant to connect us, not to segregate us and to pit us against each other. And so we started Liberation with the whole purpose that, you know, as long as you're not breaking the law, we will not be involved in your day-to-day life. So we built the infrastructure, which means that, you know, we're completely independent. You know, the big Silicon Valley guys can't come in and tell us what to do, tell us how to censor our clients. But we've also built, you know, software services and other things. So you can host your website, your emails, you can do your video conferencing with us. We've built a lot of products and tools for the average, you know, individual and business owner's day-to-day needs.
Who is really deciding on what we're able to think right now? If you were to break down the what is called a censorship industrial complex, you know, is what it's being termed right now. What really is the head of the snake, or multiple heads of the snake, I would imagine, in your view?
Yeah, I think there's definitely multiple kind of actors at play here. But, you know, Elon Musk exposed one of the probably most nefarious actors when it came to the Twitter files and what they were doing there. But we see it very similarly and can make the same assumption that it's happening in other technology companies where these kind of unelected, represented, unaccountable individuals are taking their personal ideology and pushing it on the rest of us. And so, you know, that is where it really becomes a great concern to myself and to the team, because you look at, you know, communist China and Soviet Russia. What did they do when they first took over power? They controlled the narrative. And so we believe that there needs to be a competitive marketplace and alternatives so that people can, you know, share their views and grow their ideals. But, you know, I really do think that it's a lot of these private sector companies and media outlets as a whole that have a lot to gain from the outcomes of elections. And so they will use their platforms and capabilities to help sway that.
What role does the government play in it? And is government almost a lagging indicator of the censorship which already exists in, let's say, the big tech and maybe the NGO worlds and maybe even the so-called civil rights groups that end up like ADL is an example that seem to have an amazing power to shut people down that they don't like? And Southern Poverty Law Center, places like that.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think we obviously see it with what the Biden administration is advocating for, being able to work directly with these technology companies around, quote unquote, you know, election integrity and misinformation and things like that. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these private NGOs and other organizations have the same rights and capabilities, you know, just under the Biden administration. It's a little more transparent. You know, government as a whole has not taken really proactive reform measures because of obvious reasons, right? You know, they like to control and they like to retain the power. So really, you know, we see these different organizations working with Silicon Valley companies day in and day out to push and flag what narrative they want promoted or they want suppressed.
So what change do you think? Andrew, how long have you been in the high-tech world, if you don't mind me, or big tech? How long have you been a part of that?
For about 5 years now.
Okay, all right. So you're relatively, you're a young man, you know, in a sense. What do you think happened? Because I remember in the 1980s, 90s really is when it really started getting rolling, that the internet had such, there was such promise, such hope about, you know, truly getting, you know, people connected and doing it freely. Where do you believe it might have started going wrong? Is there a way you could look back even in your own experience at Liberation Tech and maybe help explain what started? Where did it start going wrong?
You know, I think it's a human nature, right? Humans kind of want power, especially those that are at the top. They want to, you know, get power and maintain the power. But then I think that, you know, it's just the culture that, you know, Silicon Valley has really kind of created over the last couple of decades, a very cushy one where no one really has any hardships. And, you know, the rainbows are always there and, you know, it's just a bunch of happy-go-lucky. But unfortunately, that's not the fact of society.
But, you know, that's not the way Silicon Valley started, though. Silicon Valley, a bunch of people, you know, out of their garages, they were hungry, right? They were actually, you know, hungry to bring services to people that could actually make a buck or two, right? And now that they're fat, they can think about other things, how to remake the world.
They just keep wanting to get fatter and fatter, honestly, right? I mean, it's something that I think the generation one, the first kind of round in of employees, they have the right mindset. But as time and time goes on, you start to lose the values and the missions of, you know, those founders. And, you know, you look at Google, they're literally set out to be like anti-evil. And now they have literally become, I think, the face of, you know, just data mining, subversion and things like that.
Yeah. Well, their theme was don't be evil, but it's just like, okay, now it's we were just kidding, right?
You know, right? Because you lose those influential founders, and you know now they start to waver, and you know eventually new ideals and ideology begin to take over.
Or is it that now evil is being redefined? Being evil has been redefined as disagreeing with the narrative. Might that be what we're dealing with right now?
I think we as a society have kind of lost the fact that we can agree to disagree, right? We don't all have to share the same mindsets, backgrounds, experiences. That's what makes America great. And unfortunately, you know, there are some people in this country that want equality for all, everyone to have the same experience. And it's like, that's just not the case, right? You know, what happens in the South does not necessarily work in the Northeast. And, you know, I think it is kind of just a divergence of society and people kind of forgetting how the world really operates.
So you ended up building Liberation Tech. And by the way, the website is liberationtech.com. And you really call it a freedom tech. In other words, you're not going to be like a Google, or you're not going to be like a Amazon Web Services. How many people have had their businesses canceled off of Amazon Web Services because they were not, they didn't have the right political opinion, right? There's been a lot of that, which has gone on for many years. Isn't that the case?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we saw it a bit in 2016, but they were still kind of behind the veil. But in the 2020 election, it just came out in full force. You know, they weren't trying to hide it. What Twitter files revealed just confirmed it. And, you know, our whole point in liberation is as long as you're not breaking the law, right, you're not trying to, you know, traffic humans or do something egregious like that, we don't care what you're doing. We have a zero knowledge architecture, so we can't even see what you're necessarily doing. And so that is kind of just a step backwards to kind of some of the real principles that the internet was founded off of. and where we've unfortunately really strayed away from. So we're hoping to just really restore some sanity in the marketplace.
Andrew, with Liberation Tech, and like I said, you want people to be able to speak freely, to do things as you want, host web services, with you, and you have private servers, so you're not, it's not like you're leasing servers from somebody else. You own your own servers, right? Just want to make sure we're clear.
Correct. We've built all of our own infrastructure. We have our own software that we've developed over the last couple of years. Yeah, we've really built a robust infrastructure that has no single point of failure.
And this is almost what I've been talking about, what was going to have to happen if we were going to defend free speech. There was almost going to have to be a parallel society on the Internet. Is this more or less what your vision is of Liberation Tech?
Yes and no, because at the end of the day, I still think we live in a competitive capitalistic society. And so at the end of the day, the average business owner and individual can make the decision, vote with their dollars, and say, okay, do we want these technology companies that are getting fined billions and billions of dollars every single year because they're mishandling our data, or do we want to support companies that are aligned with the values and really working hard to set things right? And so, that is really our whole goal. And I don't think it's necessarily a parallel economy if a majority of Americans decide to support the latter.
If they're given a choice between Amazon, which of course has a certain bent, they're the big dog, right? That's the one that that everybody has to compete with, Amazon, Google, right? That sort of thing, right?
That's correct. And, hopefully, as we continue to grow, we'll be able to compete with these larger companies in a head-to-head kind of situation and really force them to even reevaluate some of their policies that they've taken to not only just be competitive in the marketplace, but to be a leader in the industry. And that's all being done by just foundational principles that we adhere to.
And you said Liberation Tech, what you built this this system for, this company in the last few years, was in order to, truly have freedom here. And if you are not breaking the law, are you concerned about where the law might be going, though? And the reason I bring this up is that you think of the hate speech law in Scotland that J.K. Rowling, as an example, is saying, hey, come on, coppers, come on and arrest me. See what I'm getting at here? In which they would say that what would be free speech would then be redefined as hate speech in the law. And then would you be forced to then, follow the law once again? You say, as long as you're not breaking the law. What are your thoughts on those kind of laws? Because they seem to be changing them.
Well, hopefully, our Supreme Court will stop any such thing that looks exactly what you described. And, I think compared to Scotland, the U.S. has, some really great benefits, being founded in the Constitution. There is really a broad definition of free speech for that exact reason. And no matter what the lawmakers decide to try to push, right, because we know there's some very radical ones, the courts and the states will ultimately be able to kind of uphold those things. But at the same time, we plan for a kind of zero point of failure architecture. And so we are building both on Native American tribal lands. We're also working on
wait a minute.
Facilities as well.
Wait a minute.
And
that's
there you go. Yeah.
Hey, listen, that is a very interesting technique. So you get the tribes involved. Wow. I hadn't even considered that.
Because they're under a completely different sovereignty and rule of law outside of the U.S. Congress. So it does give us a lot of redundancy, right? We have some phenomenal lawyers in how we set everything up. And because the way that we have built our infrastructure, we're not a moderator platform like a Google or an Amazon. And so it really has to go to a far extreme before we're even alerted that there's maybe somewhat nefarious action taking place.
Wow. That is just, I didn't even consider, though, that is something different. You're building on sovereign land. That's interesting. That's sort of out of the reach to an extent, right?
Yeah, it's a combination of, just across multiple states, but also we've got our first location going up on sovereign land that will be activated later this year. So it's just, we're trying to think about where we need to be in 10 years, and we're building that today.
Now, I am not a high-tech expert in any way. I'm a talk show host, and I use the high-tech world a lot, of course. What I'm kind of curious about, though, is there any limitation, I don't know if I'm using the right technology or the right terminology, so maybe you can help me out on this, Andrew. And this is the backbones that you have to plug into the internet, to the World Wide Web, and, you know, to be able to do this. Are there parts of this that you can't control that people could still find a way to block you, like the big boys? I'm kind of wondering, are there any choke points, though, that you still have to dance to the tune of the narrative, as it were? Any thoughts on that?
Technically, but no. So, you know, one of the things that is, in our mind, a limitation, you know, all the fiber that is laid across this country, you know, there is thousands and thousands of miles. And obviously, you know, at the stage that we're at, we can't build thousands and thousands of miles of internet fiber. And that's Verizon, Comcast, AT&T, you know, some of your local regionals and things like that. Mm-hmm. So to avoid a potential point of failure, we use like 8 or 9 in each one of our locations. So we have that business redundancy across. And, you know, if there were to be a hypothetical issue, you know, we would not be the only ones affected. It would be really at a national level because all of these service providers would be down.
Have you been attacked in the banking world for your stance?
No, because like we said, we've taken a very strong position in being zero knowledge, which means hands off.
Okay.
And so, you know, we have plenty of justification. You know, the courts have come out against, you know, our competitors, and, you know, they get fined. You know, there are court rulings to justify everything that we're saying. You know, and we also work with aligned banks. And so we're able to protect ourselves in that redundancy as well to ensure that, you know, no one point of failure can take us or our clients out. And so that's why, you know, we've taken a long time and, you know, we're just really getting going because building that infrastructure does take forever. Building something that, you know, can compete with some of these big boys does not take place and appear overnight, right? And so we wanted to do it the right way. We stayed stealth for a very long time. But we also have the backing of a lot of great technology companies and partners in our business. And we're able to continue to push on, educate people more than anything, and just say, hey, these are the facts. We're not making, you know, any claims. You know, I posted a article on our social media the other day that just kind of outlines, hey, Google has been fined billions and billions of dollars in the last couple of years because they're taking your data, they're selling your data, and, you know, thus your information gets leaked or hacked. And so, you know, all of these things are factual at the core.
Andrew Riddell, once again, CEO of Liberation Technology Services. And by the way, he was with the Executive Office of the President of the United States, key figure with the Office of the Presidential Advance of the 45th President, Donald J. Trump. And he may be 47th. We'll see about that. In your opinion, how hard are they coming after tech right now for the election this time around, for getting control of the narrative at this time? Are they losing control of that, or are they trying to tighten control of it in your view, Andrew? What do you think?
Well, I think they're definitely going to be forced to tighten control. You look at it, we can see the Democratic Party candidates are terrible. They have terrible poll numbers. We see that their policies are tanking. And so the only way that they realistically can remain competitive is either A, in the courts, or B, controlling the narrative through their technology partners. We saw Google and Yahoo actually implement some new quote-unquote policies in February that I think will make it very easy for them to use their AI filters and suppress email communications. You know, we've seen it time and time again over the last couple of years where they're combating spam or they're combating narratives, and really it's just setting them up with more power, more control, more oversight. And, you know, with the advent of AI being implemented into everything, it will be more efficient, faster, almost a complete lockdown of narratives that they don't want to appear. You know, if the New York Post article about the Hunter Biden laptop story were to come out today, it wouldn't even probably make it out of their inbox.
Right? No kidding.
And so that is a very concerning thing, just because we see it really starting to be ramped up. And, you know, I've spent my time on the campaign trails and things like that. And I think President Trump has a very robust operation and, you know, a ton of grassroots support and backing. And you know, the only way that they're going to be able to stop him is through controlling the message, ensuring that his pro message doesn't get out, but also the negative aspects of the Democrats and the Democratic Party also don't get out.
Have you had any social media sign up with you yet at this point on Liberation Tech?
We have a few social media platforms that use ours, also some content creators, some household names.
Really?
We also had two presidential candidates in the conservative primaries. And so, yeah, I mean, we just continue to see a lot of success, a lot of favor, just because we're able to help so many different individuals, both from Main Street to what I like to say Wall Street. We've got that small, just getting started kind of offering all the way up to some pretty advanced, heavy-duty stuff.
I know that I'm on your website right now, liberationtech.com, and you also have e-commerce there. One of the concerns that I've had with the narrative, as it were, cracking down on e-commerce is, you know, going after places such as firearms dealers in which, you know, maybe a company like Square wouldn't want to deal with you, or maybe your bank would all of a sudden cancel you and things like that. Is there anything you can do about that, or where do you see is going to be the protection in those e-commerce worlds in which essentially the capital world just starves you of the ability to conduct business? What can you do to help on that? Do you know anything?
Well, on our front, you know, you can stand up e-commerce on our platform. You can continue to sell without the fear of being suppressed by a Shopify or a GoDaddy.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have payment processing partners that are aligned. You have our banks like Old Glory that are kind of aligning everything. And so I do think that there's, like you were asking earlier, a parallel economy. I do think that there's kind of an entire supply chain of different businesses and services that are emerging to answer these exact same questions. And the only way to really avoid that kind of censorship or persecution is to be proactive. Go ahead and sign up, you know, move your businesses to those that are aligned with you. And then you just get to sleep easier at night, not having to worry about waking up one day without being able to access any of your information.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. By the way, we no longer like you, even though you've been a long-term customer with us. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, by the way, we've erased your information, too. Have a nice day, right? Those kind of things.
Right, mm-hmm. Because you have so much money and consolidation on the other side, you know, whether it's BlackRock, Visa, all these big platforms, they've gotten so large that, you know, taking out a few of these businesses, that doesn't impact them, right? But if 100 million Americans start making the switch, they'll start to realize pretty quickly that their policies, their agendas are very detrimental. And then those kind of woke DEI leadership will be forced to be removed. And the shareholders will start saying, well, maybe it's time to reevaluate some of these policies. Let's go back to traditional capitalism.
Mm-hmm. And let's go back to, and let's just face it, you know, Ron Paul, former Congressman Ron Paul, always used to say, freedom is popular. You know, when it comes right down to it. And I always thought that was a great statement from him. Very simple.
It is popular, but it also requires for individuals to not be complacent, right?
Yeah.
You know, people have to get out, you know, leading up to elections, talking to their friends, talking to their neighbors, talking about who they're going to vote for. They need to make sure that they can go vote. They need to make sure that they're aligning with like-minded businesses. And if the U.S. population just assumes that someone else will fix it, someone else will do it, then we'll just kind of repeat this cycle of insanity. And so it is very critical for each one of us, even if it's for a few minutes a day, to be engaged, to be intentional, to, you know, preserve our freedom.
Andrew Ridnell, CEO of Liberation Technology Services. And once again, the website, liberationtech.com. I appreciate anyone that's looking out there for true freedom. That's freedom from everyone, for everyone, rather, no matter what point of view you are coming from, and just following the law rather than enforcing a narrative. And I wish you the best on this, because it's people like you. I honestly think this, Andrew, are going to make the difference in the near futures, and I hope you get very successful at this. Okay, And we'll put all your information up there and social media link. Anything else that we should know? Where can people find you besides
LiberationTech.com? Tech on all platforms.
Okay. Very good. Thanks for the talk and all the best to you. Okay. I want to find out more for sure. Okay. You be well.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Andrew Ridenell. It is 7:36 at KMED, KCMD. Do you owe the IRS back taxes you can't afford? Are your finances underwater? First Response Resolution in Eagle Point solves tax problems. Their CPA will represent you with the IRS and defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com to schedule your free consultation.
If you're an experienced technician, why would you want to work for Kelly's Automotive Service? Because you align with our values. Yes, we're one of the top paying shops in the Valley, and we've won a lot of awards, including one of the top 100 places to work. But we want people to come and work with us because who we are aligns with who they are. Because knowing you're part of something bigger really matters. Please drop off your resume or give us a call. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, but take care of you.
Hey, it's Lars here with my trusted friend in the real estate market, Jared Hokanson with Hokanson Realty. If I were listing today, what advice would you give me, Jared?
Lars, that is a fantastic question. Thanks for asking. For my clients that are listing today, one of the key things that I'm telling them is, hey, we're not in the same market that we were in within the last year or two. With the rise in interest rates and what's been going on with the Feds and things like that, it's changing the market. And so it's more important than ever to make sure that they hire a company and a real estate agent that knows how to adapt to the changing market. And that's exactly what we're doing for our clients in order to get them top dollar. And we give advice on what it takes to do that. And then we put our marketing machine to work to maximize the amount of money that they can get for the sale of their property as well.
Thanks, Jared. Call Jared Hokanson today at 541-772-SOLD, 541-772-SOLD, or go online to 541-772-SOLD.com and start packing.
The email of the day on the Bill Myers Show, sponsored by Central Point Family Dentistry. See all they have to offer at centralpointfamilydentistry.com and call for an appointment. Dr. Steve Nelson and his staff are next to Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant, just off Pine in Central Point.
Conservative Underground meets right now. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
All the tens and $100 billion plus going to Ukraine, and we can't support Israel? Even just give them moral support, for crying out loud. They're fighting their own war. And they're now fighting a two-front war because Lebanon, with Hezbollah, again funded by the Iranians that Joe is allowed to get rich by not enforcing sanctions on them selling oil and then giving sanction waivers so Iraq can give them $10 billion for energy, and Joe himself offering $6 billion in a ransom payment. It's beyond any comprehension I have. They're the number one state sponsor of terrorism.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. You know, there's so much happening in our country, from border issues to local crime. It seems to be everywhere. Our friends at Byrner offer a less lethal option so you can protect yourself and be ready for any threat you may have to face. That's Byrner, B-Y-R-N-A. Now, Byrner fires powerful deterrents like tear gas and kinetic ammo. No background checks required, and they can ship it right to your door. Bob Brayton was at home when an intruder physically forced his way inside, but luckily, Bob had just received his Byrner 4 days prior to the incident, and he used it to backpedal the man outside off his property. Now, the Byrner saved two lives that day. Government agencies, police departments across the country, they are now relying more than ever on Byrner as their go-to less lethal option. You can join 500,000 other people that rely on Byrner for protection. Go to their website, check out their videos, byrna.com/Hannity. You'll get a 10% discount. That's byrna.com/Hannity.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
I was reading an article over the weekend I thought was quite interesting. It was called Hidden Behind Climate Policies, Data from Non-Existent Temperature Stations. And that kind of caught my eye. I think this was on, may have been on Epic Times. Could have been another place. I forget. I didn't actually check where I got this from. I'll have to look it up again. But the National Ocean and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, is predicting that July, August, and September will be hotter than usual And for those who view warmer temperatures as problematic, a significant cause for concern. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres on March 19th says Earth's issuing a distress call. The latest state of the global climate report shows a planet on the brink. Okay, you've heard these kind of headlines before, right? Fossil fuel pollution is sending climate chaos off the charts. Sirens are blaring across all major indicators. Last year saw record heat, record sea levels, and record ocean surface temperatures. Some records aren't just chart-topping, they're chart-busting. And what's really interesting, though, is that what do they use to come up with these kind of claims? They use the United States Historical Climatology Network, the USHCN. The network established to provide an accurate, unbiased, up-to-date historical climate record for the United States, according to NOAA, and it has recorded more than 100 years of daily maximum and minimum temperatures from stations across the United States. The problem, according to the experts, is that an increasing number of these stations don't exist anymore. Lieutenant Colonel John Shuchuk, a certified consulting meteorologist, says these temperature stations don't exist anymore. They are physically gone, but they're still reporting data like magic. NOAA fabricates temperature data for more than 30%. That's like about one-third of the 1,218 reporting stations that no longer exist. They're called ghost stations. Ghost temperature stations. And there is a website out there that keeps track of the ghost stations, and it's under NOAA Crappy. What is it? NOAAcrappy.github.io. It's like a zombie map. It's a map of the temperature stations which no longer exist, but they're still reporting. And I took a look at the state of Oregon. And they have the green ones, little green dots on the map, which show that there are temperature stations that are still legitimate and still reporting information. The one in Medford is legitimate. Grants Pass, looking at Roseburg. The I-5 corridor seems to be just fine. But then you go to out on the coast by Brookings. That temperature station doesn't exist any longer. The one, it says, in Klamath that used to be reporting for years is no longer reporting. And let me see if I can find, there's another one, which is a red dot. Oh, Lakeview. And some of these places are just broken down or they're not communicating well. But what they do, what NOAA does with these temperature estimates is that they extrapolate. They estimate what the temperatures are. They don't really know what the temperatures are, but they estimate them. That's not data at all. So something else to consider when you hear all this talk about, Earth's issuing a distress call and one-third of the thermometers in the United States of America are broken. And so they just report a number for it anyway. Isn't that interesting? You know, once again, it's, who would have ever thought that, we'd be making up what the temperature might be? We're talking about the official temperatures there for the, the historic data. I thought you'd find that interesting. I'll have to find someone to talk about that. Maybe knows more about it than I do. But even just looking at the NOAA Crappy map, I'm looking at the map and there's, it looks like about one-third of them are red, indicating that they're dead zombies, but they still report data into the system. Remember that next time you hear the latest bleeding from SoCan, okay? This is the Bill Myers Show.
Purchase a new Wayne Dalton garage door and genie opener and get $150 cash back at American Industrial Door. Now through April, choose a Wayne Dalton steel door including modern, traditional, and carriage house styles and get $100 cash back, then pair it with a genie opener for another $50 cash back. American Industrial Door will help you find the perfect mix of style and functionality to replace your old door. See the possibilities at America Industrial Door showrooms on Crater Lake Avenue in Central Point and in Grants Pass on Union Avenue.
When concrete around your home sinks, it's never pretty, and it's usually not safe either. Terra Firma has the solution. We can inject safe, expanding foam through a hole smaller than a dime and lift existing concrete sidewalks, steps, patios, and more. Best of all, there's no mess, and you can walk or drive on the repair in just 15 minutes. So for a solution to sinking concrete at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, call Terra Firma for a safe, clean concrete repair.
KMED, KCMD News, sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
Good morning, I'm Marcus Veal with your NBC5 Morning News Update. The Pear Blossom Parade and Festival took over downtown Medford this past Friday and Saturday. NBC5 News was well represented at the 71st annual event. Our very own meteorologist, Bobby J., 10 p.m. and 11 p.m. news anchor Andrea Boyd, news director Joe Sullivan, and many other KOBI-TV employees walked the parade route. And thank you to everyone who gave the NBC5 news team a warm welcome at the Pear Blossom Parade. Ashland plans to reopen its Japanese garden today after it was closed 2 weeks ago for maintenance. Parks and Rec officials were hopeful the garden would open this weekend. Officials said the reason for the closure was for koi pond maintenance. Voter registration for the presidential primary election in May is fast approaching. April 30th is the deadline for people registering to vote in Oregon for the first time or for those that wish to change party affiliation. The upcoming May 21st election is a closed party primary election. That means that Democrats will be voting for Democratic and nonpartisan candidates and measures, while Republicans will be voting for Republican and nonpartisan candidates and measures. Non-affiliated and all other voters will be voting on nonpartisan candidates and measures. You can register to vote at OregonVotes.gov. That's a look at your morning headlines. For NBC5 News, I'm Marcus Veal. Have a great start to your week.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. Through April, purchase a set of 4 Cooper tires for practically whatever you drive, and you'll get a Visa reward card in the mail. Get $100 on top of the line Cooper Discover STT Pro Mud Terrains or Cobra Instincts for your sports car. Get $75 on 5 styles of all-terrain truck tires, including the popular AT3 XLT, and get $50 on 3 styles of all-season passenger tires, including Endeavor. Save on Cooper tires at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
If you're remodeling your house, start with the foundation. Millett Construction offers a no-pressure, thorough inspection of your home's foundation and a no-obligation estimate if your house needs work. The foundation is most important because all of the repairs and upgrades you're planning, from the floors, windows, doors, cabinets, even the roof, can be affected if your foundation is unstable. Be sure you're on solid ground. Millett Construction will level your house and correct the shifting soil problem. Visit MilletteConstruction.com.
Life's busy, and off is not an option. You need to be on the water, on the call, on the road. Life's waiting. Power on with Batteries Plus. Visit one of over 700 locations today.
Hi, I'm Matt Stone, owner of Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on 106.3 KMED.
749, a little bit of open phone time. And we had Brad, brother from another Slovenian mother. SLM, Slovenian Lives Matter. What are you thinking this morning, Brad? Go ahead. Take it away.
Hey, it's another quiet riot voice. But thank you so much for what you do for the community.
Oh, my pleasure.
I was in Walgreens, the one right across from Winco on the south end.
Yeah.
And then there's a big sign up that says, we don't provide pharmacy right now. Mm-hmm. So I asked the gal at the counter, what's going on? Well, the only pharmacist we had walked off like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, actually, I think it was more than that. I think it was a couple of months ago.
It might have been.
Yeah.
It might have been. But then she told me, yeah, and we just got notified they're shutting the store down May 1st.
And that makes sense because if you're a drugstore and you don't distribute drugs and pharmaceuticals, chances are that's a problem, right, for a drugstore?
Still, there's another angle on this. That's the obvious.
Yeah.
But what's not obvious is Medford is metropolitan. We got buttheads coming in and ripping them off left and right. That's what the gal that's the manager and I'm talking to. I said, what's going on here? We're getting ripped off so much we can't make money.
Does Medford police not really respond much, or can they not do too much about it?
You know, dude, I don't know what the answer is to that. But I imagine this is, I'm sure it isn't just Walgreens.
Well, I know that my brother-in-law, I had a not a brother-in-law, actually his nephew of mine,
yeah,
in an extended family that used to work for a golf shop over on McAndrews in Medford, or off of McAndrews
in that
neighborhood, and they were always continually having the bumdom, the diverse bumdom, come in there and steal clubs and all sorts of other things and just walk out. And after a while, Medford police said, well, there's nothing we can, you know, really do about that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'll throw Slovenian at you. That takes a lot of ball.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm thinking, I guess what I'm worried about is that pretty soon in Ashland, Grants Pass, and Medford, are we going to be at the point in which anything nice is going to be locked up? We're going to be turning into California, like San Francisco Bay Area.
You know what? I mean, this is a wake-up call. Is Medford catching up with L.A.?
I hope not.
San Francisco?
I hope not.
And Seattle? Oh, my God. I hope not.
Well, let's toss it out there and see if anybody else is seeing maybe some evidence of that, all right? Thank you, Brad.
Okay, buddy.
All right. Appreciate the call. Let me go to Todd. Todd in Central Point, you wanted to weigh in on, and by the way, I did look up where my source was. It was epictimes.com. Hidden behind climate policies, data from non-existent temperature stations. And in fact, about a third of the historical temperature stations no longer exist or are broken, and yet they're all still reporting data. And they're extrapolating. They're actually just estimating what the temperatures are from these zombie stations. And tell me your experience. You had a very interesting point to make on this. Go ahead.
Good morning. Yes, I used to work for California State Parks. I retired about 8 years ago, and I worked at Fort Ross State Historic Park, which has the oldest weather station, recording or weather station on the west coast of the United States. And the history behind it is the Russians started it back in 1812 when they had a small settlement there, and they bailed out back in 1841. So we had these weird records. They didn't even use our measure of temperature. They used something in joules, French joules or something. Mm-hmm. Then there was a break. And then in the late 1800s, a rancher started it again. And they kind of kept it going after state parks took it over at the turn of the century. And when I was there, it was this beaten up, and we would report all that information to NOAA, and they were very interested in it. And the instrumentation was pure garbage. It was just junk. It was just, you know, the most primitive. It was nothing electronic. It was the most primitive type of stuff. High temp, low temp, rain gauge, and not even humidity. And it was just with volunteers, and they didn't know how to properly calculate the stuff or record the stuff. It was not taken at the right time of day. It was just junk. And I tried to tell the guy, I think his last name was Benjamin at NOAA down in Monterey. And I said, this is garbage information. You can't rely on it. Over the years, we had to move it because trees would grow and shade it and shield it. It was nothing. And he said, oh, no. This is really important long-term information stuff. I knew it wasn't within a quarter of a degree. It wasn't within 3 degrees. It wasn't within 10 degrees of what it was supposed to be. And I know that they were doing exactly what you were saying. That what was reported in Epic Times, that they were extrapolating, they were interpreting, oh, yes, let's go back 150 years and take the Russian garbage and try to interpret what they really meant. So, I mean, I'd love to contact Epic Times. I could line up a million people who used to work there and try to gather that information and report to them on a timely manner. And it was nothing. It was meaningless. It was like you and me just wetting our finger and sticking it in the air.
Wow. And by the way, the person who wrote this is Katie Spence over at Epic Times. So if you want to reach out to her, maybe I'll try to get an email address for her. But this could be an interesting follow-up because, you know, once again, this is according to Lieutenant Colonel John Shuchuk, who is a certified consulting meteorologist. He says, NOAA fabricates, in other words, makes up temperature data for more than 30% of these 1,218 temperature reporting stations that no longer exist. They just make it up.
Well, this one still exists, but it might as well not.
Well, yeah. So that might be an addition. That might be an additional problem. But still, when you hear so much talk within the system about it's the hottest summer ever, it's the warmest winter ever. It's, you know, and you hear this and you realize that a lot of it, maybe 30 to 40% of it, is being fed by garbage. Garbage in, garbage out. But yet we're supposed to make policies all based on this garbage in, garbage out. And then you have the SoCan people doing the climate change dance, you know, out there in their nonprofit world, and all the other organizations wanting to do it. And it's your SUV. It's your SUV's fault, Todd. Remember? Right?
Well, how about when they take data, long-established data, and then they say, you know what? They weren't doing it right. We're going to reinterpret all this historic data.
Oh.
And it was really colder back then. So it was colder, so now we can say that it's much hotter now than it was back then. Those fools back then didn't.
They reinterpret then history then to be colder because it's of a political agenda. You know, when you can't even trust the people reading the thermometer, Todd, that's a problem. Okay, that's a real challenge. Or reinterpreting the thermometer that people from 100 years ago were recording, right?
Oh, you know what? I'm gonna have one of my old park aides take a picture of it, and I'll email it to you.
Please do. Please do, Todd, all right? Todd from Central Point. Appreciate that call. 770-5633. Let me go to line one. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
John, Central Point, Bill.
John, what's happening?
You know, all I ever hear is you guys always talking week after week, day after day, and nobody does nothing. What about the cops around here? I've never seen a bunch of lazier persons. They shouldn't even be even paid. You know, put them on some kind of assistance or something. And I'm just ticked off. You know, I've been here 20 years. I moved out from up in Billings, Montana. And I tell you, this is the biggest shithole I've ever seen in my life.
You can't say that. Yeah. Can't say that on the air, though.
Well,
okay?
All right. You know what I'm saying.
Okay. You can say excrement hole. Now, believe me, I've lived in much worse excrement holes than Southern Oregon, though. I love Southern Oregon. Southern Oregon's beautiful by comparison to many other excrement holes I've lived.
Talk to beauty. You know, it's not that, Bill. It's the people that run this, all these city councilmen that come up here from up and down from California and all the other stuff, you know. It's just people just go with the flow. Well, they're homeless. They feel sorry. You know what? Nobody ever. I had a tough childhood growing up, and I'll tell you what. You know, I was the oldest one of 10 kids, and we didn't have food. We didn't have a lot of things. But you know what? I did good. I worked in oil refineries up in Washington State, up in Anacortes, for years. That's where I'm originally from.
Mm-hmm.
And then I retired, moved over to Billings, Montana, then I came here. But, no, it just makes me hear it. Mad when I see stuff going on around here, and the cops are just—I don't know—I just I've lost respect for the system.
You know, honestly, I think that, and I know this may not be a popular point of view, but lack of jail space, lack of the ability to punish a lot of the shall we say diversity dirtbag, you know, that are part of the criminal underclass, may have part. Some part to play in what we're talking about here. Would you agree with me on that? You know, when you're only talking about 275, 300 jail beds, it's not a lot for an area of a couple hundred thousand people. It's just not.
No, it's just, you know, they'll just turn, if they built a big jail, they'd just turn it over eventually over to the homeless, and then that'd be their motels in the jail. And, you know, just like that nice library down here, just been turned over to them. I don't know what's going on down there. I've been in there for a while, but you know, it just we shouldn't be bowing down to nobody here. You know.
Yeah. Well, everyone's bowing down to the courts, the Ninth Circuit, which essentially is saying that you have to pay the ransom. In other words, build your homeless industrial complex before we'll leave you alone. And that's why the city of Medford's been left alone. But then the people are poor because of it. Appreciate your call, though. Thanks for making it. Yeah, but you can't say the S word on the show. But anyway, hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Oh, hi, this is Victoria from Grants Pass.
Hello, Victoria. And, how are you?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to address something today concerning bipartisanship in the Oregon State Legislature.
Okay.
And wanted to give a couple of examples of why that's no longer a strength in our legislature.
What's an example to you then, Victoria?
Well, Measure 110. it needed to be repealed, and instead we got what I consider to be minuscule changes, and that won't be as enforceable as repealing it entirely. And so we'll see how it works out. I do hope that the making drugs a misdemeanor will save some people, but I feel that a misdemeanor charge is just going to be the same as a ticket you don't have to show up for.
Well, the challenge that I think we've seen in this one, Victoria, is that when you look at the House bill, which ended up passing to recriminalize drugs, that everyone's talking about how great it is, with the exception of a few legislators, so much of it is kind of mushy, and the officer may, the suspect might, you know, it's like there's not much of a club. It's almost like, okay, if you want help, then you'll get help. But we wouldn't really want to force you to get help, right? There's a little bit of that going on. Is that kind of what you interpreted that as too?
Oh, absolutely. And I think the reason why it was done was to preserve what you referenced earlier, the homeless industrial complex. And if we get the people off the streets, either in jail or into treatment because they have committed a crime, and I believe it should be a crime, then we won't have a need for all these 501c3s going around and doing such good in our community. And I think that was part of the reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the Democrats knew they were in trouble, and the Republicans, unfortunately, crossed over. And I'm not talking about all of them. There were some who voted no on these changes, but the vast majority of Republicans ended up saving the Democrat Party's bacon in this election cycle, in my opinion. I don't know how smart that is. Appreciate your call. Thanks for making it, Victoria. It's 3 minutes after 8. We'll catch up on the rest of the news. Dr. Powers will join me here in a few minutes. Christine Goodwin wants your vote for state senate. We'll talk with her about some issues, too, after the 8:30 news.